Look to the person next to you and say, God wants to speak to you. Now look at that same person and say, and me too. Do you believe that this morning? You cannot come with a message of prayer and expect that you're going to handle it in one sitting. As you just saw in that video, there's so many aspects to prayer, and I think that's why so many people struggle with it at times, because if you limit it to asking God to do something specifically for you in your life, you're missing a great portion of what prayer is all about. Amen. And as you see that, we're going to talk about prayer this morning, and then we're going to pray. Because part of prayer too is doing and being intentional. Now don't raise your hands, but how many have been guilty to say, I'll be praying for you, and it slips your mind. You had good intentions. You didn't purposely tell that person you were going to pray for him to not pray for him, but in the busyness of the day, in the things going on in our own lives, sometimes they don't happen the way we want them to happen. And some people don't want to talk about prayer because they say it's a personal thing. Prayer is personal, but it's also corporate. Both sides. You're invited. The Word of God tells you to go into your prayer closet, spend that personal, private time with the Lord, seeking out what He desires for your life, seeking out what you know and what He's telling you needs to happen in your life. But there's also a corporate side that says we should be gathering for prayer. How many things are we missing out on? Because when the church universal, not just Rosedale, but the church universal calls for a prayer meeting, and then there's a couple people that show up. You know, we have good intentions, and I realize you have a work schedule and everything else, but we miss out. And so when I bring this message and I share some things in God's word, it's not, you know, me pointing a finger at any one person, because you're going to see in just a moment that finger is being pointed back to me as a pastor, as a dad, as a husband, all aspects of our lives. What I want to say to you this morning is be sensitive to what God wants, and don't let prayer be eliminated out of your life, because so busy, that's usually the first thing that goes. Amen. Still with me? I haven't even got started yet. I'm just running in place, because as a child, we're taught this prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. How many have done that prayer? You say that prayer. I want to tell you something. Do you realize how scary of a prayer that is for a kid? Depending on how old they are, or how much you've shared with them about prayer, because if I die, I pray the Lord my soul to take, and you can picture a kid going, Mommy, is God nice? Mommy, what does it mean if He's going to take my soul? What is my soul? And it's going to hurt? And the bottom line is you say amen, and you say, now Johnny, go to sleep. And then you wonder why Johnny can't sleep when you walk out of the room. Because we haven't taken the time to explain what it is in prayer and what prayer is actually meaning. And if you're going to say that prayer, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that prayer, but you ought to be telling that child that they can trust the Lord. That our soul that we're giving up is is a part of us that the Lord wants, and we should be wanting Him to have, that it's important that we have this relationship with God, and then it's modeled by our actions, by what they see in our lives. And then the other side of that is, do you realize how weak of a prayer that would be as an adult to be praying? If you're a longtime Christian still praying that now I lay me down to sleep kind of a prayer, how much are you missing on what God wants you to understand in His Word, how much He wants you to be working on different things in our lives? Maybe there's people that the only time they're praying is when they're praying over food. A combination of any three, where really your only time that you spend with the Lord is a rehearsed prayer that lasts maybe 30 seconds. Now I lay me down to sleep. Lord, bless this food to my body. Amen. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. How much are we missing? Maybe we've got to understand that we're having a conversation with God. Maybe we have to understand that there's more to prayer than just going to God and asking Him to do something that we need. And as a believer, we're told to pray, but until the Lord really shows us the importance of prayer, until we've really been in prayer where we experience not only ourselves going to God, God, I need, but for God to respond to us. Amen? And you know what I'm talking about. Those times in prayer where you're crying out to God and then you sense God answering you. And you sense God beginning to do a works in your life. And the Word tells us that Jesus Himself told us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And we all know that prayer. So this morning, I believe that we miss out because most people don't know how to pray, they don't know what to pray, and they don't know what to expect. They don't understand the benefit of praying. So this morning, as we just take a moment here to pray that God's Word would minister to us, that we're going to have a expectation that God wants to speak to us as a group and individually, to make a difference, to shine his light on our lives, to shine a spotlight on things going on in our life, and a time that says, you know what, I want to spend time with You. So would you just for a moment, just bow your head. Father, as we go to Your Word, and I already sense You speaking to hearts, because it's an issue that's close to Your heart for us to spend time with You, to communicate with You, for You to be allowed into our busy days. So I understand that You're already working. And I pray, Lord God, that not only would Your Holy Spirit begin to put a conviction on us of some of the weak spots of our lives, but Lord God, that You would also get alongside of us and show us and have a sense that there's power in prayer. That there is a relationship with prayer, that there's answers that come only by praying. That there's some things that I believe in at Rosedale as a body of believers and reaching this community, it's only going to come by prayer. And if we're not praying, we're going to miss it. So I ask, Lord God, as we take these few minutes, that You would speak to us corporately and individually, that, Lord God, that we would have a new outlook for prayer. And I pray that You would get all the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you turn with me to Matthew 5, we're going to be there in just a minute. And as you're turning there, I want to share in Jim Maxim's book on prayer. He shares that in this time of prayer that you can have moments of breakthroughs. That's what he calls it, a moment of breakthrough. And how many would understand that moment that you've been praying, that That moment, maybe for things that you've been praying for a long time, there's a moment of breakthrough where the Lord says, I got this. Or give that to me. Or this is what you need to do in the meantime while I'm working. He talks about praying people actively being sensitive to responding back to what God says, having those breakthrough moments, allowing God to show his power and agreeing to do God's will. How many would love to see God do a breakthrough in their life? Where God would just break through maybe some of the things that have hit you so hard for so long, and maybe some of you have been praying so long. You hear stories of people praying for their kids for 18 years, and those stories where time just goes on and on. You know, you're praying through that breakthrough that would happen. How many, when they're praying, answers prayer? That sometimes when the devil just beats you up and say, you know, heaven's brass and he's not hearing you, he's not listening, you just refuse to acknowledge that and say, no, my God still is answering prayer. My God is still doing some great things. My God is still having things happen when God's people are going to prayer. And, you know, I think there's things that can happen. We can freely come to the Lord with our request. That is a part of prayer. We can come desiring and asking God to do his will. He's saying, this is my will. This is a part that you're going to play. And we can come to him desiring, telling God, this is your will and I want to do your will. And what part do I play in this? We can intercede for others. And that's what I think a part of Rosedale is right now. That there needs to be an interceding for those that just have been involved in the trenches of different things going on in their lives. And then there's a time of prayer that just comes to the Lord and says, you know, thank you. Thank you that you heal cancer. Thank you that you never give up on us. Thank you, Lord, that you know, even though I didn't see it, I'm trusting you. How many have seen the movie War Room? It's a Christian movie. It was out. It's called War Room. And I don't want to give it away. If you haven't seen it, that's a movie you need to rent. That's a Christian film that you need to support. But let me give you one thing from the movie because it fits here. There's a woman that actually put a portion of her house as a prayer closet. It was the place that she goes to pray. Now, if you were asking somebody to pray, which one would you really rather have? Would you rather have the now I lay me down to sleep kind of people praying, or would you rather have a person that is going in a designated area and say, this is my prayer closet. God, it's me again. Here's what's happening. Which one would you want praying for you? Which one do you think would see things happening? Matthew chapter 5 is called the Beatitudes, and it's Jesus talking to his disciples. His disciples are those who follow him. So Jesus, when he talks and spreads some of these things in the Word of God, he's telling us as disciples, those that follow him, to give some directions. So if you would turn with me to Matthew 5, I want to read verses 1 to 12, and then I want to read just two verses in the Message Bible, because I believe it brings it home. I'm reading from the NIV Bible, chapter 5, verse 1. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now check this out. This is the Message Bible. And I don't always go to the Message Bible, but understanding what this passage is saying, let me read verses 1 and 2. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing high crowds, he climbed up on a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. That's good stuff right there. Can you understand what Jesus is trying to say? Talking to the disciples, talking to those that he is calling to follow him, he's saying, look, there's a higher level here. Jesus says, I'm going here. Who's going to climb with me? Who wants to go to that next level? Who wants to be my apprentice? Who wants to be the committed? Who wants to see me do some amazing things? And I'm telling you, if we get to that point, we're going to see God do some amazing things. We're going to watch him do these amazing things. It was kind of like today, it'd be like, drop the mic, Jesus nailed it. And I look at this and I think of this, man, that is so good. Jesus, I want to be the climber. Jesus, I want to be the one that's committed. Jesus, I want to be the one that you call an apprentice, that when you go higher, you want me to follow. And you want me to go along. See, the challenge of prayer is this. People talk a good game, but they don't take it as serious as Jesus did. Do you see what I'm saying here? Jesus says, hey, I'm going here, and my disciples are going to follow. We say that we believe in prayer. We say that we believe that God answers prayer, but we don't participate as much as we should in praying. We struggle finding time to do what God has called us to do. We struggle being, we miss out on the amazing things that Jesus wants in our lives. Prayer meeting was started in the upper room. Church was started in the upper room as God was pouring out to his people. And most people, I believe in the church universal, do not walk in on a Sunday morning and expect God to do something amazing. Because if they did, he would. Can you imagine if all of us at Rosedale would come in next Sunday with an attitude of, God, I come with this heart of expectation. I'm ready to worship. I'm ready to hear your voice. I'm ready to pray, and I'm ready to hear from you. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we were praying according to his will, we want to do your will, we want to be a part of it, anything that we're asking according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have petition that we can ask him. We believe in prayer, but we don't take the time to pray, and we're missing out on some good stuff that God wants in our lives. Prayer gets taken out of our days. We have those good intentions. We put it in there. We intend for it to happen, but at the end of the day, the things doesn't happen. And I'm not hollering at you this morning, because the Lord has showed me too. Services, we get busy. We watch the clock sometime. We're so worried about being 12 o'clock and something needs to get trimmed. Well, we'll just cut back a little bit at the prayer time. I'm telling you this morning, we need to not cut back prayer time. We need to increase prayer time. And we need to maybe not watch the clock so close that we miss out on what God's wanting to do. Because I've watched many pastors suffer burnout. I've watched many pastors and some of my own colleagues that are trying to do things in their own strength, and it's just a matter of time before the camel's back is broken. When the work of God rests on the shoulders of man instead of God, they're going down. Do you understand that this morning? Let me say it again. When the work of God is resting on man's shoulders, it's going down. It has to be on the shoulders of God. We won't be able to see the kingdom power. We won't be able to see the Holy Spirit working if we're trying to do these things in ourselves. And it's true in every aspect of our life. Instead of prayer time being pushed aside, it needs to be put into our daily agendas. It has to be a priority. We are not God, and we cannot do things in our own strength and expect to have godly results. On Thursday at our men's ministry meeting, we were talking about conditions of the heart, and here's a principle that I was trying to share. You can know the right things to do. You can have all the right tools, but if your heart's not right, you're swimming in an ocean with no life preserver. And it fits for every aspect of our life. It works for prayer too. You can know that you should pray. You can have all the tools to pray. You can tell everybody that you know how to pray. But if we're not praying, we're losing that communication with God. And we're losing that relationship with God where He wants to intervene in our lives. Prayer unlocks the kingdom of God. Amen? Prayer unlocks the things that God wants to do in our lives. The Holy Spirit in prayer is the most powerful element in our lives that will get us to where we need to be from where we're at right now. And prayer has no barriers. Isn't that wonderful? You can pray in a prayer closet. That's great, and you need to do that. But I don't know about you. I'm glad I can call out the road, sitting in my living room, or whatever I'm doing. You can pray at home by yourself. You can pray at church. That's why I wonder sometimes. Yeah, you can hear God in the woods. You can hear God at baseball games. You can hear God at all these different places. But you need to hear God in church too. Do not stop the assembling of people of like-minded faith. Oswald Chambers says, prayer does not fit us for the greater works. Prayer is the greater works. Amen? Prayer is intimacy with God. And sometimes we miss out because we know in that intimacy that God's going to show us some of the things that we need to change. God Himself promises that as we're intimate with Him, that He will come and minister to us. He will come to speak to us. He will take and have fellowship with us. And there's benefits to prayer. There's benefits to watching God do these amazing things. So as we close this service this morning, I'm calling on us to take a hard look at our relationship with God. We're to take a look at prayer time, maybe in a new way. If you've just been praying, God help me in this circumstance, I'd invite you this morning to be taking some time, asking God to speak to you during prayer time, asking you for God to reveal Himself during prayer time, asking you that I'm going to tell you that praying is not natural, but it can become natural if you begin to pray. They say that 21 days of doing the same thing begins to be a habit. We need some holy habits, amen? Allowing God to do these things in our lives. Prayer is taking time to saturate our minds with the Word of God, saturating our minds in prayer that God can speak to us, and the battle begins in our mind, amen? The Word tells us that we should bring all our thoughts under captivity. Anybody besides me think of the stupidest things during the time you're praying? You wonder, where did that come from? Why in the world would I think about that now? All these times that the devil's just trying to take us off track. Bring your mind under the captivity of Christ. Stay focused on what the Lord is telling you during that prayer time. Fellowship with God. Allow God to speak to you. A.J. Gordon says you can do more than pray after you pray. Now, hear this. You can do more than pray after you pray, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed. Let that sink in a minute. Oh God, I've been praying about this forever. Well, you know, if you really be sensitive, God, sometimes God will tell you, now get up off your knees and go do this. There's a time to pray. There's a time for the Spirit of the living God to fall fresh on us. There's a time for God to forgive us and for us to move on. Some need to accept the forgiveness that God gave and get on with your life and move into that next realm. We're asking God to protect us and keep us. So the first thing this morning that we need is to decide we will pray. I can't preach it any harder than I did this morning, that we need to be praying. You need that time with the Lord, and you need to decide whether you're going to put that time in your schedule, intentionally taking that time to spend with the Lord. Spending that time. Priority. We can be in the woods, and we need that. But I'm telling you, I think sometimes we need just a good old-fashioned prayer meeting where God shows up. Where we intentionally, as a body of believers, say, you know what, God? We can't do this. We need you to show up. And corporately, we'll be praying for the manifestation or praying that God would reveal himself in some of these circumstances we're going through. That we need to not be afraid for God to do something. Amen? How many would do that? I mean it. How many would just in their quiet time just say, you know what, God, this struck home. This is what we need. This is what I need. So I'm gonna ask you to just bow your head for a moment. I'm gonna ask you to just quiet yourself. Sometimes we're so worked up about 10 or 15 seconds of quietness. We just feel like either we got to be talking or we got to be moving around. I'm just going to ask you for a moment. Just let the Lord speak to you. And take a moment to just enjoy the silence. To enjoy the time just allowing God to minister to you. And then we're going to have a word of prayer. What do you want to say to the Lord? What do you want him to say to you? And then how would you respond? Father, we realize that in the midst of busy days, there are days that we don't even communicate with you. We have good intentions, but the bottom line is we haven't even said good morning. We haven't taken the time to thank you for what you've already done for us and given us. Father, we take a moment now to just say that we need to reprioritize some of that time. On Thursday, one of the guys that was here shared that he gets up hours before he goes to work so that he could spend time in prayer and in the Word, because he knows that if he didn't do it by the end of the day, he wouldn't do it. Father, I'm asking that we would take some time to open up your Word, some time to be in prayer, some time to just quiet ourselves before you and ask you to speak to our hearts and the situations. Then corporately, Lord God, I'm asking Rosedale to be praying to bring down some walls. To bring down the walls that are causing so much havoc in our health. Come down in the name of Jesus. May the blood of Christ cover this congregation. And I'm asking, Lord God, for fear to be brought down in the name of Jesus. That would keep some from accomplishing what you want in their lives because they're afraid to step out. They're afraid to do something outside of the ordinary. Afraid that maybe it won't make sense to anybody else, but they know that you're speaking to them. I'm praying, Lord God, that finances and relationships and sin would be dealt with. I'm asking, Lord God, that you would literally speak to each and every one of us this morning in some area of our life. That corporately, Lord God, we would see kingdom building. And then in our own personal lives, we would see these things come down in the powerful name of Jesus. Go with each one of us, Lord God. I pray that you've spoken to each and every one of us from the pastor on down. Lord God, I desire that we spend more time in prayer. I desire, Lord God, that we would be diligent in maybe just having a good old-fashioned prayer meeting, desiring, Lord God, that you would fall fresh on us, desiring that you would speak to our new board on what other ways we can reach out in this community and show them Jesus, asking that your Holy Spirit would give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the strength and the resources to be able to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.